Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Having taken hold of the hand of the little child, he says to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." All of us have states of innocent faith in God while we are little children. With children, faith in their parents stands in for faith in God until they grow older. Little children naturally have a deep love for and trust in their parents, inspired by the presence of some of the highest angels. But as we grow up, these states seem gradually to die away. We watch it happen as our children come into more selfish and materialistic states. They become more doubting or cynical in various ways. We see it in ourselves that we do not have the innocence, the open-mindedness, or the willingness to hope and believe that we had when we were younger. As adults, we have doubts about religion and faith. Our culture is very skeptical. Men especially, perhaps, wonder if it's wimpy to have a religion. Am I being gullible, naive, unscientific? Is it wishful thinking on my part and childish to believe in a God and a life after death? Is this true? What good does it do to have a religion? Can I still be a man if I also believe in the Lord? So our childhood faith seems to die, or at least grow quite frail. Faith comes to us as a gift from the Lord, but it only comes according to our free, rational choices once we are adults. That way, if we do have faith, it is a real, two-way relationship with the Lord, not something forced on us. Then it can grow into a relationship of love. How does a living faith develop? How is the innocent trust of childhood restored to life in adulthood? We can find some clues in the wonderful stories in the readings from Matthew and Mark. First, we see Jesus walking among the crowds by the Sea of Galilee. It is marvelous to think of the Lord God, with his infinite love and wisdom, looking like an ordinary man among men. From his divine love, he was eager to embrace all and draw them to himself. But so patiently he waited, deeply respecting our freedom. The sea stands for natural, worldly things in our minds. They are the lowest and most external aspects of life. As sea level is a low place in relation to the land where we live, and the sea is at the outer edges of the inhabitable land. The crowds suggest the rabble of thoughts and feelings in our daily lives. The Lord comes down to us in whatever state we are, ready to lift us up from a merely worldly life to a spiritual life as his disciples, if we are willing. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Jairus was a respected and honored man. Each synagogue had two rulers. They took care of the precious scrolls of the Holy Scriptures and picked out who would have the honor of reading from them on the Sabbath. They led the congregation in worship and religion. Yet this man came and fell at Jesus' feet and earnestly begged him for help. We can see how desperate he was that he so forgot his own importance. He loved his little girl, and he had some faith that Jesus could heal her. Bowing down to the ground represents heartfelt humility, especially when we reflect that the divine has all power and wisdom, and that nothing but evil comes from ourselves apart from the Lord. To the extent that a person realizes this in his heart, he no longer raises himself up in his own mind. He is removed for a time from loving himself. In the story, Jairus saw that he could do nothing to save his daughter himself, and that only the Lord could save her. He gave up all self-importance and honor and just prayed for his daughter. Humility is essential to true faith or trust in the Lord. As long as we imagine that we can make up all the answers to life's questions ourselves, we have confidence in our own mental and physical powers, we don't need the Lord. But if we realize that there is no way for any ordinary person to determine what is true, to grasp all the religions and sciences of the world, much less all that will be discovered in the future, and thereby come to a fair conclusion about what is true, and we see how biased and self-interested human perceptions of so-called truth tend to be, then we may see that we need the Lord to show us what is true and what is not true. The heavenly doctrine says, there are two principles or starting points, one of which leads to all folly and insanity, the other to all intelligence and wisdom. The former principle is to deny all things, or to say in one's heart that he cannot believe them before he is convinced by what he can grasp or feel. The other principle is to affirm those things which the Word teaches, or to think and believe within oneself that they are true because the Lord has said them. This is the starting point that leads to all intelligence and wisdom, and is to be called the affirmative principle. The Lord does not call for blind faith, quite the opposite. He urges us to examine the teachings of whatever church we are born with, to see how they agree with the Word. If we do this humbly, not just to rebel or to show off, but to find out what is true, we will be enlightened without knowing where the light comes from. But first, we must decide whether we are willing to believe in God and that God can teach us by His Word, or whether we prefer to believe only in human intelligence and dead natural law, making nature the only God. If then we are willing to fall at His feet, He will be able to help us. The Lord's feet represent His divine love and wisdom accommodated to our comprehension in the Word. The Lord came all the way down into this world to show us who He is and set us an example. Because we have His Word, we too can fall at His feet in our thinking and in our life. Then He can lift us up and give us hope. But while Jesus was starting to go with Jairus, they were interrupted by the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. This represents a second challenge to the development of an adult faith. The first is the question whether, as adults, we are willing to believe in the Word. It is primarily an intellectual question, though it involves a choice of our will as well. If we accept the authority, the holiness, and power of the Word for our lives, then we begin to look at ourselves in light of its teachings. We find several ways in which we are spiritually unclean. It's one thing to make up our minds that we want to become honest, clean-minded, patient people. It's quite another, actually, to change our behavior and attitudes. So at first, we approach the Lord from behind. We see Him from the back and touch just the hem of His garment, no more. Our faith in the early days is what the writings call historical. That means it's a faith based mainly on the stories and sayings of other people, rather than something we've seen for ourselves. But if we sincerely seek the Lord's help in improving just one area of our life, where we have recognized a habit and a weakness that leads us to sin against Him and against other people, then miraculous, wonderful things can happen. We can begin to be healed. In this way, our faith begins to deepen and grow. Instead of seeing Him from behind, it's like He has turned around and looked at us. Now, we may want to hide, to escape the implications of a growing faith, feeling fearful of our inadequacy to meet further demands, and deeply ashamed of our infirmities, and yet knowing that our lives are now going better than before. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go into peace and be healed of your affliction." We may feel the peace of beginning to follow the Lord, but the evil spirits don't give up easily. Old habits and delights die hard and slowly. So many negative thoughts, lies, fears, and doubts arise, like the messengers from Jairus' house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Evil spirits accuse us of all kinds of terrible things, both true and false, and make us feel as though our hope of heaven is dead. But the Lord says to us in his word, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Jesus permitted no one to follow him now except Peter, James, and John. In a severe situation, the Lord enables us to sort out what we really care about from all the chaff. Peter, James, and John represent faith, charity, and love to the Lord. They came to the house and saw a commotion with the mourners wailing loudly. These so-called friends of the family suggest deeply rooted affections close to the heart, which are removed only late in regeneration. It seems dreadfully sad to give up these feelings and thoughts. It may seem as though life will be nothing but miserable drudgery. We cannot imagine the resurrection of any true love in us. We may laugh bitterly at the idea of conjugal love or heaven. But no matter what state we are in, there is always a perfect soul inside. It is the Lord's dwelling place with us. Though we make our bed in hell, he is always there with the power to lead us back to heaven if we are willing. Very often, we are asleep to the Lord's leading within us. It seems as though we have lost touch with him and that our loves for what are good and true have died. But Jesus told them, "The child is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed him to scorn, but Jesus put them all out. Then he took the father and mother of the child and the three disciples with him and entered where the child was lying. Here again is a picture of the Lord helping us to put aside the negative feelings and really pull together our principles and deepest goals. And so the Lord took her by the hand and called to her, and immediately she arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. 12 is a number in the word that stands for all the good and true states that make up the church in us. As we progress in regeneration little by little, the Lord reintroduces to us all the states of charity and faith that we experienced growing up. First, we are introduced into the idealistic states that we experienced in adolescence. Later, into the sweet friendship of childhood. And finally, into the innocence and peace of a little child or an infant. He introduces us back into these states when we are ready for them, ready to choose to make them our own permanently. In childhood, they are borrowed states, not freely chosen. Gifts of the Lord through the angels with us. In later life, these states, long withdrawn from our conscious life, can be reborn with us when we are ready to treasure them. We associate old age with frailty, but there can be great spiritual strength within an aging body. Similarly, our culture tends to associate faith with weak-mindedness. But a true faith opens our minds and hearts to the source of strength. Faith in the Lord opens our eyes to the whole truth about our own nature and about the Lord's power and love. In time, it gives us self-control and moral strength. based on principles that we both see clearly and believe with all our hearts. In this way, a true faith brings security and peace to our marriage and leads to a life of use that we find deeply satisfying. It removes the pressure of preoccupation with ourselves because we trust in the Lord. Then we can avoid being terribly crushed by our failures or overinflated by our successes because we regard all things as being in the Lord's hands. True faith in the Lord leads to an increasingly clear sense of our own identity and our goals in life and joy in pursuing them, and at the same time, a growing reliance on the Lord's secret providence. So the Lord resurrects us with the innocent, trusting states of our childhood, now combined with a free and rational approach to life under His leadership. The childhood states are not dead, they are only sleeping. This wonderful story is being fulfilled with us too, if only we are willing to fall at His feet and beg for His help and trust in Him. And having taken hold of the hand of the little child, He says to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.